Shall we turn in our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're reading together verses 11 through 19. We are, of course, departing from Mark, which we'll come back to, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. But if you turn to page 1023, we'll read together verses 12 through 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. Let us read together. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. We are of all men the most pitiable. May God bless his words to our hearts today. Christ's resurrection, a big deal. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, why is the resurrection of Jesus considered one of the most important events in history? Why so many songs written about it? Was the resurrection really such a big deal? The answer is yes, it was. And you'll hear three reasons why it is such a big deal today. There are many reasons, of course. We'll highlight the three main things that we find as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Our goals, our headings are: Christ was raised, you will be raised too. Christ, second, Christ was raised, so you will proclaim the gospel. And third, Christ was raised, you will be forgiven all your sins. And our goals are that you will understand and cherish the resurrection of Jesus Christ for you, so you can love him better, and that you will make the introduction of others to Jesus so that they too can receive the benefits of Christ's resurrection. Our first heading: because Christ was raised, you will be raised too. Jesus was gloriously raised from the dead on the first day of the week. Indeed, the scripture said and had said 1,000 years before he died that he would be raised up, that God would not let his Holy One rot in the grave. Let's read Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11 together. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So not only was that prophesied, but the disciples of Jesus saw him. They talked to him. They touched him, as he called Thomas to do. They ate with him. They worshipped him after the resurrection. And in fact, we see on consecutive Sabbaths, Sundays, he met with his disciples. At one time, he met with 500 people and preached to them after his resurrection. So there's no question that he was raised from the dead. But Christ's resurrection, of course, wasn't simply done to give you bragging rights to say, my God is better than your God. Rather, there are very important implications, And these are the three we are considering now. First of all, because Christ was gloriously raised from the dead at the end of the world, he will raise up all the dead who believe in him and give them new bodies. And all the living who believe in him will have a kind of resurrection themselves, for their bodies will be transformed from this physical fleshly body into a glorious body. So all will have a form of resurrection who believe in Jesus Christ. If Christ has a new body, you will have a new body too. Why? You were in him when he died, and therefore you will get a new body. You too will be able to go to heaven. Look at the account in 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 4, verses 16 and following together. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Can't be clearer than that. But the Bible gives us more examples of that. 1 Corinthians 15:52 together. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see, Jesus conquered death when he was raised, and he gives that victory to you. It's as if you conquered death, so you will have that new body as well. Now, one of the beautiful things about the scripture is that it never speaks of one situation and leaves it there. Anything that's important is mentioned multiple times. And that's why we don't develop doctrines based on one passage of scripture. But the fact of our resurrection and being given glorious bodies because of Christ's resurrection is mentioned throughout the scriptures. Let's look at some examples. Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this 2,750 years ago. And he said this would happen. And we look forward for this to happen. Isaiah 25 verse 8 together. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. All your troubles will be taken away. The Apostle Paul himself even mocked death. Paul was so confident of his victory over death that he wrote about this future victory, which would only come when Christ returns, but he describes it in present tense as if it already happened. And that's usually when you are certain about something. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, together, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? I mentioned before of a bee or a wasp that loses its sting. It can't do anything anymore. That was one of our fun activities as kids. You pull the sting out from a wasp, and then you scare the girls with it. And they think it's going to get them, but it's got no sting anymore. It's gone. No, don't try that at home if you've got wasps around. But it doesn't have the sting anymore. Oh yeah, you've got the bee there, but you don't have to be afraid. Or a poisonous snake, when the fangs are removed, there's nothing to put that venom in you anymore. It's not a threat. You know, the bee can try to sting you, can't do it. The snake may try to kill you, but it can't. It's like death's teeth have been pulled. And right now, it's kind of gnawing at you. It's just trying to get at you. And that's why you feel so tired sometimes, or frustrated or depressed. And you think, why is life so hard? And that's where death is trying to grab you. Why am I so sick? But remember, the teeth have been pulled. Oh, it might look, you know, you see a cobra lift its head up against you, might put a little bit of fear in you, but if it's got no fangs, it can't bite. Don't be afraid. That's what Paul was saying. Where's your sting? It's like a mocking it. What are you going to do, death? He said, to be absent from the body will be present with the Lord. So he wasn't afraid of dying anymore. The Apostle John spoke of death's final destruction. And there he said, you will have a new and glorious body. And he says, death is put to death forever. Revelation 20:14 says, together, then death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hades, of course, means the grave. And the grave cannot control the power of God's resurrection. That resurrection that he gives to us because Jesus was raised from the dead. And even before that, probably the first book written in the Bible was written by Job. Consider what Job said about this new body in Job 19:26. Together, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. The renewed flesh he was speaking of, not some ghost that no one can see, but a real glorified body with which he will see God. Yeah, he knew he would be eaten by worms or his body will dry out and become dust again. But yet he knew he was going to get a new body. His soul would be rejoined to that glorious body at the resurrection. One more passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. Together, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What a hope. What a blessing. Your body will be glorious, free from sickness and woe. You will have no desire to sin in that body anymore. You know, you can have the best plastic surgeon and make your face look or whatever you want look smooth as ever. And guess what will happen in a few years? It won't look the same way. You will get old and die. And that beautiful face will start to rot. But not when God gives you this glorified body. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, you will have that wonderful body. That's the first point. But let's apply it first. Give you some lessons. First of all, Christ was raised, so you too will be raised. That's it. This will complete your salvation. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, let's read together. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. God will wipe away every tear. Everyone's got reason to cry. But the Lord Jesus will raise you up and complete your salvation. Remember, if Jesus died for you, where did the life come from? That would just satisfy God's justice. But because he was raised, you then have the opportunity to have new life. Second, don't be afraid of death anymore. Don't try to die. But if it comes, don't worry about it. A better body only comes this way. Third, laugh at death. Laugh at death because you're guaranteed a new resurrected life. Jesus was raised, and so will you. Second point, because Christ was raised from the dead, you will proclaim the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul gets into. Now, this language is a little bit difficult because it's mostly what we call doctrinal language. But verse 14, 15, and 16 speak of how the fact that we now are to proclaim the gospel. Christ's resurrection from the dead confirmed everything that he said about his life and death to his disciples. It proved that he was the Son of God who came to save the world. Let's look at that text first from Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Together, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection from the dead, he proved that he was the Son of God. Remember, this was the reason Jesus was killed. The Pharisees said, "You're guilty of blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God." And the Jews in Jerusalem understood that the resurrection proved that Jesus was the Son of God, and therefore they knew they would have to believe everything he said before, that the Lamb of God was a perfect sacrifice for sins. So what did they do instead? They tried to hide the truth of his resurrection. Take note of that. They tried to hide the truth of his resurrection, paying people to say, "Oh, they came and stole his body." Because they didn't want to accept. If they proved that Jesus was raised from the dead, they knew they had to believe in him. And who could deny this message after it was confirmed by so great a miracle? But the resurrection, don't misunderstand, the resurrection is not only proof of who Jesus was. The resurrection was essential to complete your salvation. So you can say there's a twofold purpose to the resurrection. It proved that Jesus was the Son of God, but it also was saying your salvation is completed. Because when Jesus was raised, it means you were able to get new life. So we've got this message. Jesus was raised from the dead. The Jews knew it. They tried to hide it because it was so essential. What's your responsibility then? The Apostle Paul then talks about testifying that he was raised from the dead. So with the fact of Christ's resurrection established, this message had to be proclaimed so that the world would receive its benefits. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 together. "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." This, of course, was when Thaddeus was included as a disciple or the apostle to replace Judas. Why? Because Christ wanted them to be 12. Why? So that they will testify of him. Testify what? Testify of his resurrection. And that means everything else that was leading up to the resurrection. If Christ were not raised from the dead, then there'd be no preaching. The dead cannot save the living. If Jesus is in the tomb, then he cannot save anyone. Christianity without the resurrection is moralistic futility. Let me repeat that. Christianity without the resurrection is moralistic futility. And this is the disease that we have in many of our churches today. We have a lot of moralism. Be kind to your neighbors and be patient with others and take your time with your children. All those are nice things, but they won't save you. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when churches throw away the cross and preach moralism, they're leading people to hell with what sounds good. You know, Christianity today is largely do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not Christianity. You're not saved that way. Now, we should live godly, but why is it that we're able to live that way? Why is it that we're able to do unto others as we would have them do to us? Because our hearts have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the focus must be. Without the resurrection is only hell. Hell. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says together, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's through the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if Christ were not raised from the dead, it would make no sense to preach. there would be no salvation. Lessons then for the second point. If Jesus were not raised from the dead, then Christianity will be like every other religion grounded in human work. Every other religion is grounded in human work. You could please God by yourself. Only Christianity says there's nothing you can do to please God. It's what Jesus has done that pleases God. You could only place faith in yourself if you don't have Jesus and his resurrection. And how hopeless would that be? But now you can preach about faith in Jesus Christ. That's the one, the object of your faith. He's the one you trust in. You grab hold of what he did and claim it as yours. That's the difference. Second, don't concede that Muslims and Jews believe like you. They reject Christ's resurrection. The Jews try to hide the fact of his resurrection, paying people off. And the Muslims deny the resurrection by saying he didn't die on the cross, that somehow God switched him with somebody else. Who died on the cross? The foundation of these religions rests in the denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they will go to hell unless they get the message of Christ's resurrection. That means, of course, there is work for you to do in spreading the message of Jesus Christ. So be evangelistic. Third point. Know the worthlessness of the views of, for example, of the Jehovah's Witnesses who deny life after death. They believe in what is called annihilation. When you die, you cease to exist. Your soul dies. And know how hopeless the Hindus are, teaching of the ever recycling of the soul, hopelessly searching for rest, going from people to animals to whatever, and just making this cycle in life. Or we should evangelize the world as well, the Japanese, the Africans, people in South America, wherever they are, we must share the gospel with them, particularly emphasizing not just that Jesus died on the cross for sins, but that Jesus rose from the dead so you can get new life after your sins have been paid for. So have you ever told someone that Jesus was raised from the dead? When was the last time you told someone that Jesus was raised from the dead? In the context of the gospel, of course. That's what I'm asking, really. When last you told someone about Jesus? Now, not everyone gets opportunities all the time, but you have to look for them. This is the only thing that will save them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, there's a third benefit of the resurrection that we want to conclude with. Since Christ was raised, you will be forgiven all your sins. At the resurrection of Jesus, all sins. And by the way, the mother of death is sin. Christ kept the law, a law which brought judgment on you. Sin and death, therefore, cannot hold you accountable. Death is the child that has been abolished by Christ's death. That eternal death can't hold you because Christ died. So sin, which is the mother, the strength is taken away. And sin can't give birth anymore to death, because sin strength has been sapped by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ's death has no atoning value, of course, without his resurrection. And by doing that, what a weakened mother death has. She can't give birth anymore. Not to you. Look at the spiritual benefits of Christ's death and resurrection to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, together, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Now look how the new life came. Romans 4:25 together. Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So he died to pay the penalty for our sins, and then he was raised to give us new life that we can live and enjoy. This means you never have to die for your sins. Then you say, well, why do I die? Why do I feel like I could die anytime? Isn't that for my sins? No, that's never for your sins. When you die, it's your entrance into eternal life. Once your sins have been paid for in Jesus Christ, they're separated forever. And you're tied to God forever. You become God's child again. Your covenant keeper acquired what was put into your account forever. You know, this is a little difficult concept to us to get when you think you put money in the bank and the government will tax it and you have to use it up and then it's gone. When you think of what Christ has done by his resurrection, he gave you new life, and that's put in your bank account, and it's never ever diminished because it's not physical. It's spiritual. It never gets old. Jesus did for us what Adam couldn't do and didn't do. Next, if Christ were not raised from the dead, you would still be in your sins. And therefore, the Apostle Paul says, most pitiable. You would be the most pitiful people. Why? Because you're serving a God while you're still in your sins. But now we don't live that way. You have joy that is inexpressible. You don't have to carry that weight of sin on your shoulders. No, we used to sing a song a long time ago, and it goes like this. You ask me why I'm happy. Well, let me tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. The resurrection gave you new life. The sins are gone. You can live to please God now. So what lessons can we learn here? Because your sins are forgiven, you have the hope of heaven, with a down payment of sitting in heavenly places now. You don't have to live like a refugee. Now or later, you are in heavenly places. A couple of passages, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, together. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Your sins are gone, and you will have a place in heaven. You have one in your heart now, that peace, which is the next point. You have the hope of heaven. You have peace in your heart now. It's the most desirable thing. And you can have peace regardless of the upheavals that are going on around you. You could be worried. You could have problems at your workplace or with your health, or you think of the persecuted church and the troubles they're facing. Whatever calamity comes across your path, you can still be at peace. That's a blessing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 now, together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your minds on things above. You don't worry about the things on the earth. Live like a prince, a princess. Claim God's promises. You have an impenetrable wall around your soul. That's because you have that new life again. Remember, death pays for sins. The resurrection gave you new life. And the third thing you must learn, based on the fact that your sins are gone, worship God. You can. The world can't. The world still has its sins on its back. Your burdens were lifted on Calvary because you trust in Jesus Christ, so you can worship God. Their worship is abominable. Your worship, though imperfect, is still received through Jesus Christ because your sins are gone. Let's conclude. Because Christ was raised, you will be raised as well. You were in him when he died, and you were in him when he was raised. The dead who believe will be joined with those who are alive who believe and go to heaven at the end of the world. And because Christ was raised, you must proclaim his resurrection so that the world can be saved. And because Christ was raised, your sins are forgiven. Those who promote a moralistic Christ always ignore the resurrection. Look at them and see. Listen to those who promote moralisms. Listen to those television preachers with large audiences, because that's what people like. A little moralism, a little feel-good sermon. Instead of saying, oh, you total wretches we are, as the Apostle Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he points to Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a couple of points of note as we conclude. Let the knowledge of Christ's resurrection give you confidence in how you live as you wait for heaven. The confidence because the price has been paid. Now, when you are confident in the fact of the resurrection by the historical accounts, for example, by the Lord working in your heart by his word and spirit, then let the knowledge of Christ's resurrection make you live in obedience now. And as you do, you will be storing up treasures for that time when you will go to heaven. And let the knowledge of Christ's resurrection, that confidence in his resurrection, make you evangelistic. Let the lost hear and be saved. But you know, it's not always easy to live obediently. It's not always easy to be evangelistic. What will make you do that more? To do these things, you need to constantly be reminded of Christ's resurrection. You have to read the story often. You have to hear preaching about it. Ignore the preacher who ignores the resurrection. Finally, if you don't believe Christ died for your sins and rose again to give the credit to you, then you will die in your sins and spend eternity in hell. If you don't want to die for your sins and spend eternity in hell, ask God to count Christ's death for your sins and his resurrection as yours. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words today. Thank you that you did not leave us, but you sent your only begotten Son, truly God and truly man, to live and die for us. And then after 3 days to rise triumphantly from the dead, so we have our sins paid for and we have new life. Lord, the time will come when we will have those glorified bodies and be taken up to heaven. But as we remain in this world, remind us to live obediently to you and to share this message of Jesus Christ so others can receive this blessing and you will receive the glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.